to the service this morning, we invite you to take your hymnal, turn to hymn number 248, Grace Greater Than All Our Sin. Let's stand as we sing. Bulletin hymn, For Mercy We Come, is sung to the tune of the doxology.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. We're grateful to God for His mercies. We just sung about that are new every day to His people and that are new to us this morning in allowing us to be here. We thank the Lord for a reason to worship Him and for His promise presence where He gathers two or three together in His name around His gospel. As we pray, continue to pray for those that are sick, for my daughter as she heals. Remember my wife that she's away on our anniversary today. So, I'm certainly wishing her a happy anniversary till I see her. If you would turn with me in the Psalms, Psalm 31. I've often said that in the Psalms, David says oftentimes what I want to say, sometimes what I'm afraid to say. And I thank the Lord for the comfort that He responds to us both with in what He promises. Psalm 31. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy. For thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. And hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. For I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief. Yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. But I trusted in Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. My times are in Thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make Thy face to shine upon Thy servant. Save me for Thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon Thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them go be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. How great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. May we pray. Our Father, this morning we lift up your high and holy name. We lift up the name of your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom you've given that name that is above every name, that in his name every knee should bow, and that every tongue should confess that he's Lord to your glory. We would not even dare approach unto you were it not for your mercies and your grace in him. We thank you that he has appointed that one mediator between men and God. We thank you for him as the great high priest of your people, whose sacrifice avails on their behalf. Lord, we thank you that you are pleased in your good providence to bring us into this place, that we might read your word, that we might sing your praises, that we might pray as your people together, that we might hear your gospel. And we ask, Lord, that you would make to us that faith by which we are enabled to believe, that you would quicken us and give us life. Grant to us that we might have the hearing ear and the seeing eye of faith, seeing and hearing and believing the precious things by which you make known to us in your word, the things that are freely given us of yourself. We pray as we come together for all of these sick ones, traveling ones, and ask your blessing and healing and help to each and every one of them. We pray for all of your servants and all of your people on this globe. We pray for our brethren in Malawi, and for those that preach the gospel there. We pray for the elect of God in every place, and with all their problems and difficulties, and especially persecutions, we pray that you would strengthen them and be to them as you speak that you are and were to David. We pray this morning that you would cause us to bear our attention to your word. We pray that you would cause us to honor you in all of our thoughts and songs and words this morning, and receive our thanks for your goodness to us in every way, in everything provided, and every protection giving, and every preservation by which we endure in this world. We call upon your name as your people, and we thank you for everything that you blessed us with. We pray that you would in power call out your lost sheep and revealed to them the truth, that they might honor you and glorify you, that they may be comforted in their hearts in this world. We thank you most of all for Christ and all that great salvation that you have wrought in him, all by your grace, the free gift to your honor and glory. For we pray in your name. Amen.
In your hymnals 151, Crucified. And this is one we haven't sung in a while, so Janice is going to play through it for us. Then Brother Tim, if you'll wait on the congregation.
Thank you. of worship, worthy of praise, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all the glad songs we can sing, worthy of all of the offerings we bring. You are worthy, Father, Creator. You are worthy, Savior, Sustainer. You are worthy, worthy and wonderful, worthy of worship and praise, worthy of reverence, worthy of fear, worthy of love and devotion, worthy of bowing and bending of knees, worthy of all this and added to these. You are worthy, Father, Creator. You are worthy, Savior, Sustainer. You are worthy, worthy and wonderful, worthy of worship and praise.
Back in your Bibles to that psalm that we read, Psalm 31. This is a psalm of David, where he's moved by the Spirit of God to testify of God's grace to him in the midst of all his trials, persecutions, tribulations. I want you to look at what he says in verse 15, particularly this morning. He says, my times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. My times are in thy hand. This week I saw on the news where the keepers of the so-called doomsday clock, somebody in 1947 established what they called the doomsday clock. And that group announced this week that they had moved the hands of the doomsday clock to 90 seconds to midnight. 90 seconds to midnight. And supposedly this is the time that all these scientists, etc., have predicted for the destruction of this world, our destruction, due to a combination of things, nuclear destruction, environmental destruction, pandemic destruction. They consider all these things, the rate at which they are taking place, and on their clock, this doomsday clock, they moved it to 90 seconds to midnight. They have rightly named their clock Doom, the doomsday clock. And such a conclusion is inevitable to these natural minds, these scientific minds, these thinking people, these knowledgeable minds. They develop this logical timetable. This is simply, really, the wisdom of the world. But their clock, no matter how widely it might be respected or accepted, their clock is not the one that this world runs on. That's the wrong clock. This is not the clock that these things, this world, will be determined by. I thought about it, it's kind of like this. You have a boss, and you show up for work about 2 hours late, and he begins to scold you. And you look at him and say, well, by my watch, I'm early an hour. Whose watch do you think's going to count? And that's the case here. Our watches are not going to count. But it is God's clock. It is God's timetable. And it is God's schedule that are really the only one that counts. You say, well, they're right in some things. Absolutely. Probably are. But I've heard it said that even a broken clock is right two times a day. And I thought about it, that's a lot like deception is overall, especially deception in religion. It's right about two times a day. But it's not right. It's not true. And this is not God's clock. Because He is the absolute sovereign of the universe. You can take one verse of Scripture, such as Ephesians 1:11, and know of a certainty that He works all things, or worketh, and that is a continual action. He is working all things after the counsel of His will. It's on His clock. And that is not only when, but also how this world ends. And it's already determined, predetermined by Almighty God. And that makes all these predictions, all these forecasts, all these warnings, all this fear-mongering of men so foolish. Needless fear. The Bible says, he that hath fear has torment. And we know that the Scripture says that perfect love casteth out fear. And the admonitions we find in Scripture to the people of God are always and often, fear not. Fear not. And the fact that we don't determine anything is something we hate to admit. We don't determine when we're born. We don't determine where we are born. We don't determine when we die. We don't determine how we die or even the events of the world that determine these things. We have absolutely no control. So the fearmongers come up with all this doom. Let me read you from Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 8. He says, remember this and show yourselves men. Oh, bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. This is something you need to remember. You need to remember it in the face of all these predictions, whether they be bad or good. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Just one God. He alone can predict, because He alone can determine. I'm God, and there's none other. You make yourselves little gods, but you're not God at all. Not even in the smallest degree. I'm God, declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. I'll do it all, and I'll use whatever means I want. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. I'm God alone. I determine these things. I determine what will come to pass. I bring it to pass. Whether it's politicians, whether it's the weather, whether it's the heart and the will of the king, God brings all these things to bear. He controls all things. And he determines all things. And he determines how long every man will live on, on the earth. In Acts chapter 17, it says, He hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of all the earth, and hath determined the times beforehand appointed and the bounds of their habitation. In other words, he's already appointed all things pertaining to him, all nations, where they'll be, who they'll be, and how long they'll be. He set the bounds. They can't go past the bounds of his habitation, of their habitation. But what I want you to notice this morning is David's comfort in the midst of these things. His enemies pronounced doom to him then. The devil pronounced doom to him. He did everything he could naturally to bring about doom to himself, just like every sinner. But notice David's comfort in these things. He says in verse 15, My times are in thy hands. That's not just a cute phrase or an old-worn cliche. That's the truth. The times of all men are in the hands of God. All men, everywhere. But this is the special comfort of God's elect. This is the special comfort that he determines to belong to all his people, because they are to know and remember that all their times especially are in the hands of their Heavenly Father. It isn't David said here, all my times are in his hands. It's David in the light of everything that's going on in his life and everything that's happened, everything that's going on in the world. My times are in your hands. God is working all times, at all times, and things after his own counsel, and he's working it together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. When Isaiah wrote in chapter 52, he said, How beautiful are upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation. That's those that are sent of God to declare the good news of the gospel. Peace by the blood of his cross. Salvation by grace. That saith unto Zion, that saith to the Lord's people, Thy God reigneth. Our times are in his hands. Then again in chapter 62, Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, Say ye to the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy salvation cometh. Christ, all of our salvation, not only has come, but he's coming again. Behold, His reward is with him and his work before him. So David states in this verse, he says this, his comfort in the midst of all these things is this, my, it's personal. And not only is it personal, but it includes all things. He didn't say, my time is in thy hand. He said, my times, all of my times are in thy hands. And what is said of David is said of every one of God's elect. It's said of every true believer, every gospel believer, everyone that God has given faith in Christ. And what we find out when we hear his gospel and know his gospel is this. We had a time before time. Does that make sense? Only with God. We had a time with God before time ever began. Before this world. Look over in Ephesians chapter 1. Remember and read again this verse of Scripture that is so wonderful. Paul reminds God's people. He brings forth this letter and this message to God's believing people at Ephesus and throughout all of history. He says in verse 4 of chapter 1, according as he had chosen us in him. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. That's when God's clock begins. That's where the timetable of grace begins to God's people. It's not when somebody cobbled up something and stuck a stick up and marked numerals around it and made a sundial to determine time or made the first clock or watch or whatever it is that they use as a timepiece. That wasn't when their times began. He says it was before the foundation of the world. Before a sundial ever said or somebody marked a shadow of the ground and said, it's noon or it's time, this time or that. That's when God's grace begins to his people. Because it begins in Christ. Because he loved them and he blessed us with all spiritual blessings. You can't do anything to earn them or merit it because they were done in the time, before you ever were. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. He chose us in Christ. He loved us in Christ. You see, that's why men by nature hate grace. By nature they hate the true gospel because it takes their doing and their efforts out of the equation. We were blessed by God, the gift of all spiritual and eternal blessings in Christ Jesus before time. Before the world began. And God put us in this union, this everlasting union. He viewed us. He made us one with Christ Jesus. And at his appointed doing, he blessed us before the foundation of the world with every spiritual blessing. I like what he says through Ezekiel. He says, now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee Behold, thy time was the time of love. You don't remember that, do you? No. Because he passed by us. That is, he looked upon us and chose us and blessed us and made it a time of love to us before every time ticked a single second. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord, and thou becamest mine. I passed by you and it was a time of love. My love for you. Why? Because this was an infant in the field. And not only that, but all my time. Every child of God, every true believer can say this and know this for sure. All my times have been in Christ. You say, well, didn't the Bible say that we fell in Adam? Absolutely. But we didn't fall out of Christ. We were as much in Christ, in the sight of God, when we fell in Adam, as we are in this present hour or will be in any hour. We are in an everlasting union, viewed by God, in Christ Jesus. All down through the times. All down through the times of this world. All down. That's what history is. It's time. What goes on in time is history. And all down to the history of this world. Before we were even breathing air on the earth, we were in Christ. But the most important time for me, or for any of God's people, for any of His elect, the most important time for me and all of His people is the time which we, in Christ and Him, went to the cross. When you read the Bible, you hear Christ talking to people about a time coming. To one lady, he said, "What have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." They took him and tried to stone him. They tried to lay hold of him, but they couldn't. Why? Because his hour was not come. God had appointed a time. And just as well as He had appointed Christ, just as well as He had appointed a place, just as well as He had appointed all that would happen to Christ, He appointed a time in which all this would take place. To Christ, and at the same time, everyone in Christ. At a certain time, all of His people went to a cross because Christ did. All of that time was involving the judgment of our sins, even if it was before we were born. You see, that's why it has to all be of grace. It's before everything. It's before the foundation of the world. It's before all in this generation were ever born. It's before faith. Before God helps us in grace. Before He gives us life. Before He does all these things. We had a time in Christ on the cross. And out of that, He says to everyone that He dies for, everyone that He perfects forever by this sacrifice, by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. This is the wisdom of God. It's by faith that it might be of grace. It's before faith that it might be of grace. Everything is grace. Everything is in Christ. And every time is in His gracious purpose to us in Christ Jesus, or we would surely mess it up like we messed up everything else. There's a doomsday coming for the majority of this world. There's a destruction of this earth already foretold by God. It's not like something that they've come up with new. They don't know the time. They don't know the means. Turn over with me to 2 Samuel 24. I want you to just read a verse. Same man here, David. David, in disobedience to God, numbered the people. He wasn't supposed to do that. But he numbered the people. You know how it is when we go to counting heads and everything, like in the so-called religion today, people want to know how many you have in church, how many you baptized this year, how many members you have. It's always numbers. But we don't number. God does the numbering. So David, in a picture and a type, he numbered the people. In 2 Samuel 24, David and a man that he's talking to by the name of Gad, they know that they're in trouble. They know they're in trouble. But God gave him great wisdom in viewing his situation. Look at what it says. And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. We're in trouble, brother. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for His mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man. If we have any mercy from God, it won't be by all these scientists and leaders and politicians and all these people who point out the doomsday clock and establish it. It'll be by us falling on the mercies of God. You see, if we fall into the hands of men, I had a young man ask me this just Friday, I believe it was. I said, that's how men rule, is by fear. He said, really? I said, yeah, if you fall fearful into the hands of men, he's already got you. He's ruling you. He has dominion over you. David said, don't let me fall into the hands of a man, of men. Don't deal with me according to man's justice or man's will. I want my times to be in the hand of the Lord, because He's great in mercy. And you try to save yourself, and you try to follow a man's prescription, and you try to follow man's rules and man's advice and all these things, and you don't listen to God. Somebody said, well, I just want God to be fair. He's going to be fair. I just want what I deserve. You're going to get what you deserve. But the wisdom of God is to deal with the sins of His people in Christ Jesus, deal with them justly, deal with them according to His own holiness in the only way that He can. That's why Christ is the wisdom of God, and He's the mercy of God. You see, the gospel says, fear not. Why? Because God has dealt with the sins of his people in another person, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's punished our sins. He's punished our sins if we be his. But he's done it wisely. And he's done it justly because he did it in Christ. He put everything in the hands of Christ. I remember reading an old story in a book years ago where a queen or a king, I can't remember which, wanted a man to perform, a successful businessman. She wanted him to perform some kind of task for her that would require his going away for a while and being her representative and all these things. And he said, I can't because I've got my business. And she said, you take care of my business, I'll take care of your business. God has already taken care of the business of his people. In the time of times, and Christ hung on that cross as our representative, as our Savior, as our Redeemer, as our King, everything, and he pronounced it a long time ago. It is finished. It is complete. It cannot be added to. That's why we are perfected in Christ Jesus. Then all our individual times are in his hands. Every one of us, everyone that's ever lived on this earth, was born at a determined, predetermined time, a predetermined place, of particular parents. No mistakes. You are born out of time. You are born in the wrong place. You weren't born to the wrong parents. I don't care how they've been. Not if you're God's child. He worked all those times in order to accomplish a certain purpose, and that purpose was your salvation. And in every event in my life, including every failure, including every sin, including every high and every low, in everything, God viewed me and views us in Christ. Why didn't it consume you? Why did he wait? The Lord waits that he might be gracious. All those times, all those situations, some of them that just bring horror to our minds to remember them. Circumstances that broke us and disturbed us and things that cost us in this life. We can look back and say that all these times have been in God's hands. In order that he might show mercy to us. All these things. Let me read you a verse. In 1 Chronicles. Last chapter, chapter 29, verse 28. This is about David. Same man. Verse 28 says, and he died in a good old age, full of days. You can't make me fear with your doomsday clock. Because I'm not going to die 1 second before God determined, and I'm not going to die 1 second after it. The old writers used to call that the leisure of the eternal. In other words, he does everything according to his time. He doesn't have to be hurt. You can't hurt him. There won't be a man that can prematurely bring about a nuclear blast that will destroy the earth. Why do you live in fear of those things? It says, and he died in a good old age, full of days, riches and honor, and Solomon his son reigned in his stead. Now the acts of David, the king, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Samuel the seer, and in the book of Nathan the prophet, and in the book of Gad the seer, with all his reign and his might, and all the times that went over him. And Israel, over Israel, and over all the kingdoms of the countries. He included all the times. All the times. You see, Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Were they new? Were they just like morning every day? You might say it's like Groundhog Day every year. Where? In Christ. Everything's new. And furthermore, the time that men dread the most, fear the most, the time of our death, is in his hands. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Who do you think appoints it? We don't. We never appoint it. Because we live in sin and never have the effect of sin on us and live in rebellion against God forever and ever if we could. And that's not on his clock. There's a time of death. And that's why this dread, there's so much fear-mongering in this present day. The environment will diminish all the way. A meteorite will strike the moon or strike the sun or will run out of water or will run out of good ground. We'll do all these things. They'll diminish. We'll be destroyed. Be no clean water, no clean air, no food to eat. All gloom and doom. Midnight, 90 seconds. That's a foolish prediction. In Genesis, right after the flood, God made a promise. He said, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. I'm going to believe God. It's going to be harvest. There's going to be seed time. There's going to be all these things that God promised. Jeremiah 31, he said, "Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea, and the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall cease from being a nation before me forever." He's talking about his people there. You see, if you don't see, if the sun quits coming up, if the moon quits shining, if the seashore is not divided, water from land, if these things happen, then you'll cease to be my people. I'm old. I feel it. I know it by the number. A lot of people remind me of it every day. Oh man. I've lived 75 years on this earth. But even this morning, after all that time, sun came up. Somewhere in this world, they're still planting a crop, still harvesting a crop. That inevitable nuclear holocaust that had to come when we built the shelters in the 60s, I believe it was. It hadn't come. They said it would. Right now they're talking about the Chinese, how they're building such an army and all. Oh, he'll call a ravenous bird from the east to do his will. Everything is will. Because our times are in his hands. As a matter of fact, it won't be by the hand of man at all. It'll be by God's unmistakable hand. Man will know that however way this world is destroyed, as God has promised with fire, man will know without a shadow of a doubt that it's not an accidental or a criminal act of man that brings it to pass, but an act of God. Everything will come from the heavens. When he comes with flaming fire, when he comes in vengeance, with vengeance upon them who? That obey not the gospel. In the hour that no man knoweth. Turn over to 2 Peter. The Apostle Paul said that in the last days, perilous times, plural, times would come. But you know, he doesn't talk in that chapter, he doesn't talk about all these things, environmental or nuclear or all these sicknesses and stuff. He didn't talk about that. He talks about, in that context, perilous times of deception, of religious deception, of false prophets, of untruth and false gospel. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's warning about. Perilous times. But God is going to maintain, sustain this earth, just like
He's done for as long as the earth has been, because he's doing it for his glory, to show his might, to show his power, to show who's boss, to show his sovereign control. But not only that, but to save his people. Peter says, this second epistle, beloved, I write to you, it's chapter 3, 2 Peter, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. What's a pure mind? The mind of God that he gives to his people. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind that sees things and knows things and believes things the way God does, according to God's truth. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in these last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens that were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. You don't want to think about that. I think about it sometimes. How man, especially the so-called scientific minds, strives to find out things and will not believe what we've already been told by God. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. This is going to tell you something about God's clock. That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. We can't read God's clock. Far beyond us. But he says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Not all people, but to usward. You can go back and see that this book was written to God's elect. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's all going on, carrying on. Time goes on, but the times are in God's hand. The time when his people will be born, the time when they will be brought by his providence to hear the gospel and believe and have revealed to them what God has done for them. And they will find out that their times have always been in his hand of grace and mercy. I thought about this week, that old song, you know, put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea. You do something. No. When through the gospel God teaches his people and reveals the truth to them, and we find out how it really is, we find out that his hands, we've been in his hands for a long time.
And we didn't put ourselves there. He put us there, and we'll be in His hands. Worlds without end. Will you read one more, two verses with me? So remember where we were last week in John 10. Look at verse 28. He's talking about His sheep. His sheep that hear His voice, that know Him, that follow Him. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father, which gave them Me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. Those that have been in the hands of God, their times have been in His hands, they're going to be there forever. Because no man can pluck them out of His hand. Somebody said, well, they can jump out. No. Are they not people? No man can pluck them out of My Father's hand. To start with, they don't want to be anywhere else. You see, it's not our grip on Him that saves us. But it's His grip on us. And whether it be the hands of the enemies, God's people have enemies. Those that hate Christ. Those that hate the truth. Those that hate this gospel of grace. And they may even have some personal enemies. But it doesn't matter, like David said. My times are in His hands. Devil, king, politician, boss man, predictions here and there, doomsday clocks. Their doomsday may be more than less than 90 seconds away. Our Father, we thank You for Your word, for Your promises, that You have made yes and amen in Christ. We praise Your name. We thank You for all that You have done for us and then all You have revealed to us. We hear Your voice. It says, fear not, for I'm with thee. All Your time are in My hand. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.